place?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, we've got a question.
David's unmuted. And Erica.
Okay, there's a question for all the presenters. Suggested conference approved or unapproved reading list. What words that touched you and moved you? So basically what I'm understanding is what's the most powerful reading, I suppose.
I don't even know what to say to that. Conference approved literature, unapproved reading list.
Well, just because it's not conference approved doesn't mean the conference disapproved it.
Well, the book says that we have, you know, that the world is a treasure trove of that kind of stuff, and there's tons of great readings. I really like a book called Brennan Manning called Ruthless Trust. That's a great book. I really enjoyed that. I like Anthony DeMello. I like a lot of these. There's a lot of readings that really touch my heart. And it's funny how when you're a seeker, that stuff just comes to you in the right point in your life. Or for me, that's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else want to add to that? David or Eric?
No. Can you restate the question?
Okay. It was suggested conference approved or unapproved reading list, words that touched and moved you.
Erica Alcoholic. Erica. I don't know, since I had all these extra kids in my house, I've had a lot less time to read than I did 10 years ago. my mind is totally blank as far as who I've read in the last few years. My husband could probably answer better than I could, but books have been next to my bed. But just as a point of reference, just because it's not a conference approved literature doesn't mean that it's not approved. So just be open and see, you know, what, gosh, I love Eckhart Tolle, New Earth. I read that cover to cover, day in, day out for a long, long time, twice. I read that twice all the way through. Other books, I don't usually read all the way through. I love my friend Kenny that spoke on 4 and 5. He just wrote a book. That's a great book. I don't have anything else. David?
I'm not a reader. I just can't read very well. I don't do news. I don't do TV. I don't do a lot of stuff. So, but there is one line from one book, and it's the 12 and 12, which is for us. But, and the first line in step 6 is, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And that's pretty much been my experience, because I think, and when you come out of step 5, it's like, you know, there's something visceral that happens when you see your self-reliance in black and white in front of you, you know, and then when you spill your guts out in step 5, step 6 is like you're going into another realm. You know, it's like you're just beginning to kind of touch the realm of the spirit, because all that whole process from 6 to 10 is like a way, because all that stuff, just like it says in 5, you know, we're building this arch through which we will pass a free man or a free woman. So that's what happens in step 5. That's why those promises are so profound, because that's what's happened. You've released that negative energy that you've been having pent up in yourself. You released it into the universe. Whether you know it or not, just because you spoke it to your sponsor this means it's out in the world now, you know. So, and I used to do a lot of fifth steps from the podium way back when. I don't do it anymore because I think it's inappropriate. But yeah, as far as the other literature is concerned, I'm not a very big reader. The only book that I've read that I really like, and it's really out there, is The Cloud of Unknowing. I've had some people that they're meditating Christians, so that's what they, and Merton used to read that book too, so that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Actually, there's a question directed for you. What made you entirely ready to give God all those defects of character?
Pain. Pain. A lot of pain. Like I said, in the fifth step, I had that profound experience right after I came home and I did that, and I fell asleep. And we do a little bit different than kind of what's in the book. Is in step six, we review our inventory to find out what's objectionable. And kind of Sam touched on it, you know, those age-old principles. I had a lot of those. And when I was ready to, back then I didn't know what they were, but the stuff that I'm voicing it to myself, right? I'm voicing it to that quiet inner voice in my innermost self, and kind of like taking myself off the hook, if you can imagine that. So I don't know if that answered your question, but a lot of it was I guess you could say it was very humbling. But usually the only time I give anything up is if I've really gone through the ringer with it. And that happened last year. I was ready. And fortunately, I have I had a woman in that I know that really helped me. And I did some, I did the inventory, and then I shared it, and I was launched. It was pretty incredible, you know, that it still happened after all this time. But thank you.
Thanks, David. Okay, I'll ask this to all three people on the panel. What humble situation have changed you the most throughout your sobriety? How did you work through them? Looks like Sam's ready to go.
I'm Sam, an alcoholic.
Hey, Sam.
I went through a period of sobriety. It's hard to, I don't want to take up too much time, but I went through a period of sobriety where I had built up a lot, kind of a house of cards based on self. You know, I'd ended up, I sponsored a lot of people. I was making a lot of money. I was in a ton of debt. I was in a bad marriage. And I was, you know, there was a lot of things that I was doing running from a fear of looking like a failure and a high school dropout and just, all these things that I had, that I was a loser and a screw up, and I way over tried to overcompensate with that. And bit by bit, I started saying this prayer, God, prune me where I should be pruned. Help me to get, I want to get closer. And the wife came in one day and said, I don't love you anymore. And there's some stuff going on there. And the company started to fall apart and all these big hurricanes started happening. And I started really getting rocked, but I fell back into the hands of God. It all worked out, and I fell back into working the steps. I did a really strong inventory, and I had a really strong third step. I remember Tom and I were sitting down, and he asked me the question that we pose a lot. He said, what are five things you're unwilling to give up for a better relationship with God? And what have I been unwilling to give up? And at 15 or 14 years sober, I was just there are things that were just shams that I didn't mean to be like that. I hadn't meant to do that. I started it with good motives, you know, like I just wanted to have, you know, with the family, the people that, you know, thought they would like, or, you know, and have what I thought. I wanted to make my life look like what I thought other people would approve of, make my father proud. And when all this stuff just started to fail away, you know, I got really connected to God. I mean, I just fell back into it, and one adventure after another happened. And, you know, I just one miracle after another continued to happen. And I really just got this propulsion. I had amazing amends that happened after that step work. And, you know, I always feel like when I let go of a lot of these false security blankets that another friend of mine, Rob, says, you feel like you're going to fall 90 feet. But you fall 2 feet back into a, you know, a cushion pillow, you know, and into a gracious God, into the hands of a loving God. It's been my experience. So hope that helps.
Thanks, Sam. Erica, would you like to?
You know, the further up the ladder you go, the more your ass shows. And the longer I'm here, the more people get to see who I am. And I often tell women I sponsor, keep your eye out for a better sponsor, because I am quite sure you will find one. and I'm only partly kidding, because I can't help but show up the way that I do them. One thing that helps me, David talked about the this is a step that separates the men from the boys. I'm such a slow teach, and I just, I did not understand what that meant for the longest time. Men from the little girls. And, this is a step that is going to show me what my survival skills have been that served me very well when I was drinking, the shutting down, the anger, the retaliation, the running away, the, you know, all that stuff that I still show up today when there's no threat. There is a threat, but the threat is me. The threat is an external usually today. But these survival skills, they've outgrown their usefulness for me. And I think of them like the weapons that I've used to keep you at bay, the weapons I've used to survive my life, and I have to lay them down and walk away from them. That's what 6 and 7 is really about. And I have a responsibility today. I have a personal responsibility to demonstrate principles instead of demonstrating my personality. And I have a personal responsibility to carry the light and to practice principles no matter how I feel. And that's not a fake thing. That's not like, it's not an act as if. Act as if is not a spiritual program of action. It doesn't mean that I should not, you know, try to have a good attitude even if I feel like I'm super self-centered. But it's not about pretending, right? It's about going to the place that cannot be divided and going to the place that y'all are pointing to, the real treasure that the big book is the map to, right? And trying to find that conscious contact, that experiential thing that everybody's been pointing to, this relationship with this creative intelligence, right, that we're always connected to. And am I willing to be on a different basis today in regards to the areas that I'm afraid of, in regards to the people that I'm resentful at? Am I willing to change? Am I willing to be on a different basis, in the basis of relying upon God rather than the basis of relying on self? And in that way, I move from acting like a little girl to acting like a grown woman. And my sponsor will often say, how about we bring the adult to the meeting today, to the meeting at work or whatever? How about we bring the adult to parent your children today? And I'm like, you know, it's really sad you're 49 years old and your sponsor's still reminding you to bring the adult. But we light the candle, we carry the light, and we have to find, the 12th tradition talks about, I love the 12th tradition long form because it talks about, you know, we have to actually practice a genuine humility, this to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us. I have to find a way, which humility and us, it doesn't equate very well. That doesn't come natural. All of these things are contrary to my nature, right? And so I have to learn to develop this relationship with a way to live that I'm on an even playing field with everybody, and I'm in proper relationship with God, and I'm in proper relationship with you. And to actually demonstrate and actually practice a genuine humility. So I hope that helped.
Thanks, Erica. David.
Is that the humble situation? Is that what
that humble situation
has? Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know, I've been really fortunate. I've had a few of those. One that I was kind of thinking about was, wasn't it had nothing to do with six or, oh, I guess it did have to do with seven. It really humbled me. I had a guy, I worked with him. He had finished amends and had a great, profound experience, and was rocketmented into the fourth dimension. And then we were on a retreat, and he went by the casino, and he said his car turned him around, and he went in, and then he went out. Eventually, he went out. That was his third time. And I used to have a rule back then, if you go out on my watch on three times, you get fired. So I fired him. And I told him to go to this friend of mine in the South Bay. And so that's what he did. And I remember, you know, he called me from where he was, and I kind of knew where he was hanging out. So I went down and picked him up, brought him home to his wife. And so this guy had, yeah, I mean, he got, you know, he got out of the, I met him in rehab. I took him through the work, and then he finished that set of amends. And then, yeah, he relapsed a couple times during that process, and I still work with him. And, but, you know, he went to the other guy, and he finished he went through the step process again, took a lot longer. And, you know, he was reunited with his family, his two girls were failing out of high school. They brought him out to they lived in the Palisades. He brought them out there and put them through Pali High, and they both graduated with honors and went on to college. And I mean, it was like a dream come true, you know what I mean? And he passed of a heart attack, and when they had the little gathering at his house, you know, his whole family wanted to meet who I was, because, you know, and I did the same thing with him that Dan did with me. You know, I took him everywhere. I took him on ski trips, and that's how I met his wife. And, you know, I just took him under my wing and did exactly the same thing Dan did to me. You know, we went out to dinner after the meetings, and I gained 20 pounds, and he gained 20 pounds, and, you know, but that's what we do. You know, we give our love to our sponsees, and miraculous things happen, you know. So that was one of the turning points, and I would say, that pretty humbled me. And then some of the amends, I guess, I had to make were really humbling. I won't go into it, but yeah, especially, you know, I didn't have a long list. I had like 70 or 80 names. I don't remember exactly that big inventory I did way back when. And I remember I did like 30 of them in like a week. I was meeting people on my lunch break. I used to work in a market. I retired from a market. So I'd go on my lunch break. I'd go before work. I'd call these guys to meet them. You know, I mean, I was just bum rushing on it. And I was really getting ecstatic over it, you know. And you know, excitement, right, isn't really good for us, right? Anyways, to make a long story short, I've gotten very humbled with the amends process. And one of them was very profound. And the one with my father was really profound. And those are the things that... you know, I get to share with another individual. And it's not about me getting free. It's about them getting free, because I'm the one that trashed their life. I'm the one that stole their car. I'm the one that ganked their money. They need to get free. That's what it's about. And when you see that, it's like when you work with another alcoholic and you see that light pop in their eyes in step one, you know you're doing the right thing, you know. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Erica, and thanks, Sam. It was awesome. Thanks for the committee for asking me to chair the meeting. I'll hand it back over to Damien now. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren, for chairing that, mate.